to Full Service Radio.
Full Service Radio.
Full Service.
Full Service.
Full Service.
Full Service Radio.
What up, what up, what up? Hey friends, welcome to Shift Drink on Full Service Radio, broadcasting live from the Lion Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. I'm Matthew Ramsey, hot dogger, fan of the dram, and condimentalist.
I am Eddie Kim, proud DCist, vermouth addict, and Amazon Alexa paramour. Welcome, Amazon.
Oh man, national landing, huh?
Yeah. Oh, don't call it that, please. It sounds like the area between your butthole.
No, that's called National Treasure.
We are drinking Sazerac, so it's already starting to hit. Every week, we share a shift drink and swap war stories from behind the line with chefs, bartenders, bakers, brewers, and anyone who touches this all-encompassing industry. This week, we are joined by drink slinger and spirit whisperer, Fred Uku. Ooh. Of the Red Hen.
Hello.
Welcome.
Oh, it's great to be here.
We were just talking about your past and everywhere you've worked. You've opened a lot of places.
I have opened a lot of places. It's true. I've closed a few places too.
Yeah,
that's the part that you're not supposed to talk about.
Right, right. Yeah. Well, I mean, that's a badge of honor both ways. I mean, we're all proud about the openings that we do, and the closings. I mean, the closings hurt just as much. But
closings are slightly more painful. Ever so slightly.
Which ones are more meaningful?
Openings are definitely more emotional. Closings just feel like a kick in the nuts.
Yeah.
I've closed one bar, but I have worked at bars and restaurants that have closed shortly after I've left.
Coincidence?
Draw your own conclusions.
Okay, fair enough. Paint to your own numbers.
Yeah, right. Connect those dots how you feel like.
Well, before we dig into it too much, let's do a little weekend recap.
What's happened this week?
Apparently, there's a horrible monstrosity of a new new Thanksgiving cocktail.
Oh, that thing. Okay, so there's a picture that's been floating around the internet of this Trumpkin pie martini that's being served at the president's locations, I think in Miami or in Florida. It's horrible looking.
I mean, it's first of all, they're calling it a martini. Second of all, it's Trumpkin instead of pumpkin.
Is that his line? There may have been the headline that we... It may have been some copywriter.
No, that's...
Oh, is that really
it? Yeah, that's what they're calling it. And it's a golf course out in, I guess, California.
Okay.
This is the world we live in now.
God. Who wants... I mean, nailed the color. They got the color right. It's definitely orange.
It's more like pumpkin spice latte. And
so I see the resemblance.
Shift Drink favorite, the Los Angeles Times has named their two new restaurant critics to replace Jonathan Gold. We love Jonathan
Rest
Gold.
In peace.
But they have named Bill Addison, who is the former national food critic for Eater, and Patricia, Escarcega, who's coming out of New Mexico, I believe.
Not one, but two people to fill.
Two people for his shoes, which are huge shoes. So actually, I think that's a great move.
Yeah.
In addition, awesome. I mean, the paper in general is expanding their coverage of food all across the board. They got Peter Meehan to come in to be a contributor. They're going to do a lot more videos from what I hear. So on a national scale, I think LA Times is kind of upping their game.
It's about to kill it.
And I mean, in general, I think California and LA, the West Coast, is kind of leading the way when it comes to food.
Los Angeles is my favorite city in the country to go and just eat in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just eat my way through
There's
Los Angeles
so
for
much
five
going on
days.
There.
My absolute favorite
food. Any recent meals you've had?
In Los Angeles? No, I haven't been. I usually go in December, January, when it gets
slow,
miserable here. Yeah. I usually dip to LA for about 5 days. Recently, I'm probably butchering the pronunciation of this. Gelina is fantastic.
Nice. Giusta, their sister bakery, and morning, great place if you just want to sit and watch models go watch by. Yeah.
LBH.
That's pretty much what
it's such a huge stereotype, but it's across the street from the Gold's Gym where Arnold Schwarzenegger trained.
Yeah.
I mean...
That's awesome.
It's there's worse ways to spend
what did we
Tuesday
get?
Morning. There's way worse ways. What else? Yeah, that's the only one that really stands out right now. I'm like I said, I go in January, so
yeah.
Due in
all right, you have to let us know.
Absolutely.
Speaking of kind of food writing, there was a great article this week about from Thrillist about this journalist that he went across country documenting the best burgers in America, came up with this whole list, 100 of them.
That's your gig, isn't it?
I've dabbled in the burgers. Coincidentally,
this guy's stealing your act.
He came into Pineapple and Pearl, I remember, because I could overhear him talking about it when he was on this journey. But he recently wrote an article about how he found the best burger place in America and then accidentally killed it.
Mm-hmm. That's what it
says. And it's a really good read. My coworker Patrick at Tail Goat sent it to me, and it's definitely awesome. It's on Thrillist, so go check it
out. Great. And I think of one last thing, a couple of new announcements and openings for the area. Things are still blowing up here. Up in Baltimore, actually, Faden Sonnen, which is a natural wine and sake bar from one of our favorites, Lane Harlan, just opened up this weekend. So I don't, you know, forgive me for getting the secret out too early, but that place is going to be amazing.
Yeah.
Oyster from Rob Ruba, Adam Birnbach, and Max Carler, that they announced that they're going to be opening a place called Oyster.
Yep.
And then I think
they're popping up at
Maxwell. They're popping up at Maxwell this weekend. Post Thanksgiving preview dinner.
You know what sucks about that? I'm allergic to oysters.
Are you really?
And I don't like mushrooms. Oh, no. I can't eat mushrooms, and I'm allergic to oysters. So
oyster mushrooms, hey guys. And oysters. Oh my god!
We'll definitely support you in everything you do, except
that's a challenge.
Except for the one way.
I'm sure they have wine.
Of course, yeah.
I don't know if you guys heard this. Kava's going green. Yeah. A woman found a frog in her kava bowl recently. I'm sorry. I love kava, and it's really unfortunate that there was a frog.
It was alive, though, right?
Froggered about it.
Maybe for like sweet green, I'd be okay with it. But kava is.
I don't. How does a frog? I mean, listen.
Frogs are delicious.
Things happen. Like you'll always find, you know, bugs and things when you're like cleaning lettuce. And I'm sure. Yeah. It's probably. I mean, to be fair, this frog probably started off as a tadpole. You know. It's just science in your.
Speaking of science, we are drinking. This has nothing to do with science.
Absolutely nothing.
We are drinking a Sazerac. That is just shift drink of your choice.
It is.
Fred. Why Sazerac?
It's really easy to make. Well, no, that's not true. When it's done properly, it's amazing.
Yeah.
When it's done poorly, it's god awful. Also, New Orleans is my favorite city in the entire country. It's my favorite place to be in the entire country.
So, and the Sazerac is the official cocktail.
Yes. Official cocktail. It's also the oldest cocktail.
Oldest cocktail. Well, yeah, I don't
maybe
know.
Maybe.
They say that about the Sazerac. I don't know, but it has Civil War roots. And it was Sazerac Rye. But I don't know. Now, a few weeks ago, we had Tom Sietsma on the show.
Who's he? Never heard of him.
And he gave Eddie raving reviews about his Negroni.
Oh.
Now, this is your favorite cocktail. You said when done well. How does this Sazerac stand up?
You're a huge dick. It's okay. I'm saying it. I'm going to rate my own.
Okay.
I think it's okay. I pre-batched it. It's heavy on the absinthe.
It came pre-batched in a green chartreuse bottle. So
it came in.
You did wash. You washed with absinthe.
I did a quick absinthe wash.
On the scene.
The lemon peel did not go in. It's in your drink.
It's in mine.
But if you want to get super, super micro about this, yeah, some people believe to not put the lemon peel into the drink.
Do not.
Because some of the bitter elements from the pith will go into the beverage.
My girlfriend is a pretty renowned cocktailian in this city. If you put the lemon peel anywhere near her cocktail, she will flip out on it.
Oh wow.
Yeah. Don't do it. Lemon peel.
Strong opinions.
Eddie, I can't
believe you put this lemon peel in my cocktail.
You dropped it in. I also wanted to say we are using Michter's Rye. It's a great rye from Kentucky.
Delicious.
Aged about 4 years. Always important to use a good product before mixing everything.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
proper building blocks.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, let's cut to it now. We do a little game to kind of get to know our guests.
We're not doing two truths, one lie.
We're not doing that.
No. Are you ready?
Let's do it.
Oh, let's do it then. Yeah. Oh, okay.
A little game we call Two Truths, One Lie.
Let's do it.
Two Truths, One Lie.
All right. I'm guessing this means because Fred didn't prepare, but that means Fred is also going to be playing jazz on this. And like,
Fred is a master of
improvising,
thinking on his feet.
I can riff. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. What do you got? Lie to us.
Lie to you. Should I start with the truths? Or should
No. Don't tell us.
No, it's random. And then we're gonna
guess which one's the lie.
Okay. Okay. Three things. One. Oh, okay. So, Barack Obama's cocktail of choice.
Are you allowed to reveal this?
I don't think the Secret Service is going to come through the door anytime soon. Although he does live not too far.
And we know that for a fact that Barack listens to our podcast.
So, we do.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Mr. President, I'm about to reveal your cocktail of choice. Barack Obama's cocktail of choice is a Stoli Martini Dry. With three olives. I know this because I made one for him, and in order to make the cocktail and present it to him, I got mag-wanded by the Secret Service at least three times.
Okay, I believe that. Yes. What else you got?
There's one that I'm just not going to do. Okay. just not going to do that. I have waited on several members of this current administration, and they're all fairly miserable people.
Oh. Yeah, I also believe that one. I believe that one. All right, lie to us.
It's taking shots to the face.
Yeah. let's see. Let's come up with one more truth or lie. I have worked in this business, in this industry, pretty much exclusively for the last 15 years.
Except for a stint.
Except for a stint.
Stripping.
Ooh, we weren't going to talk about that. We said before the show we weren't going to talk about my
stripping's
off the table. That we can't talk about. I love this business. It has given me pretty much everything. Every friend that I have right now, every relationship that I have right now, has come from this business. I don't know where I was going with that. Where am I going with this?
That's the truth. That's the truth.
Okay. So either Barack Obama does not drink dry martinis.
Or?
With two olives and Stoli.
Three olives.
Thank you. Details.
It's all in the details. I kind of want to say...
I guess the second one's... is a lie? False? I don't know.
We want to think everyone's happy. No matter who they're working for. I kind of want to say the first one's a lie because I have made drinks for a prominent person.
Oh, God.
And I was not wanted as much. Was Barack the president at the time?
At the time, yes.
Shit. Okay. That might up the game a little bit.
Okay.
All right. How about the second one?
Have we all made drinks for Barack? That's amazing.
Have you?
I made coffee.
Oh.
That counts.
I have not done number 44. Yeah. I have done someone else. But.
Okay. What are you saying?
Number two is a lie. They're not miserable. They're just...
Sad to say, gentlemen, number one is the lie. Sad to say, number one is the lie. I have never actually made a cocktail for the 44th President of the United States.
Okay.
I have waited on several members of this current administration.
A bit, yeah.
And they're all miserable.
Yeah.
There's one in particular... I started that story with the one story in particular you might have, you know, heard about.
Well, yeah, let's talk about it. We're going to talk about that.
We're
going to
jump right into that, yeah.
Certain issue that might have arisen with the restaurant that I currently work at.
So you work at Red Hen.
I do.
The Red Hen, not the Red Hen.
Not the Red Hen. the right now.
Difference being one's in Virginia, one is
Lexington,
in
Virginia, 155 miles away from not that I looked it up or anything.
For those who've already forgotten what happened.
Break it down for us.
Okay. The current White House press secretary went to the Red Hen in Lexington, Virginia, and was refused service by the owner of the restaurant. The owner of the restaurant did a quick whip count with her staff and said, "Do we serve said person?" Staff said, "We should kick her out." Owner went up to said person and asked her to leave, her and her family. The White House press secretary then went on her official White House Twitter handle, named the restaurant that asked her to leave. The internet predictably went apeshit.
They went all internet on her. On them.
And because the internet went internet.
Oh, Pizzagate.
Uh-huh. And because people don't investigate further, they assumed the White House press secretary, because the White House is in Washington, D.C.
Right.
They Googled the Red Hen, Washington, D.C., and we popped up. That led to 2 weeks of harassing phone calls, death threats, all manner of crazy behavior.
Well, I was talking to another bartender over there, and like, this is like a month plus later, like, people were like making false reservations.
Yeah.
And just not showing up.
That still happens.
That's crazy.
That still happens. Some three, four months later, and we still get false reservations. Jeez. The bulk of the crazy behavior is behind us, thankfully.
So, yeah. Yeah.
It was a boon for us because we saw a lot of foot traffic, people supporting us, people in the neighborhood, people in the city. We got a lot of support that way, but death threats are never fun. You know, we saw a spike in foot
traffic.
Were
these emails? Were these like...
These are emails. These are phone calls. These are death threats.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it doesn't really matter.
So you'd be working, you pick up the phone and somebody...
And someone in Chattanooga would say, "I'm going to come to D.C. and burn your restaurant to the ground with all of you in it."
Yeah.
Which is it's horrible. Fun.
Yeah.
Because Tennesseans have that wonderful accent. It's fun.
Oh, we'll be saved. We'll play someone in the air later.
You know, it's like it's when they're telling you they're going to burn you and your family at the stake. It's always fun when it's with a southern twang.
Yeah, it just has that southern charm to it.
Yeah. It's adorable.
What was that craziness like? How did that affect the atmosphere?
We took it in stride.
Yeah.
I
saw a few Instagram posts about it.
Yes. Our PR person, Alyssa Turner, was an absolute fucking rock star. I think she should be nominated for a Pulitzer for how she handled our social media account during that week. Mm-hmm. But like I said, we had a lot of increased foot traffic. People came in to support us. So it was weird. That was the topic of conversation in the restaurant for about 2 weeks, which is just, we just want to, you know, sling wine and make pasta puns.
Yeah.
That's all we want to do.
It's like one of those things, like, as an operator that's opening a restaurant, you never expect that kind of thing is going to...
You never, ever in building out a concept, in building out a restaurant, you never once think that scenario is going to happen. You never once think that a current administration official would tweet something and have the internet go batshit crazy. That's just, you can't prepare for that. But hey.
And considering everything that's happened with that experience and, you know, being very firsthand dealing with Americans and all of their, the panoply of their ideas, you are, what, some 3 weeks away?
3 weeks.
From being...
I am being
naturalized as an American citizen.
Naturalized American citizen.
That's a weird word for becoming an American citizen.
Naturalized? It's very weird.
Yeah.
It's quite unwieldy.
Do you even naturalize, like, bro?
There was a store. There used to be a store out in Naturalizer. Anybody remember that store?
Uh-uh.
It was a shoe store.
Okay.
It was called Naturalizer. They sold like orthopedically friendly shoes. That's it. That's all they did. They sold
totally different ones.
It was a shoe store.
Yeah.
Naturalizer.
I had a friend that worked at a Naturalizer in Columbia Mall.
Okay.
So now, some 20 years or 15 years later, the idea of being naturalized, and I think of shoes.
Yeah. Where are your orthopedics?
Yeah.
But what has the process been like for you? What is this? What does this mean?
It's been over 20. It's said about 20 years.
I've lived in DC and the United States for 20. It'll be 21 years in January. I first applied to be a citizen in 2012. So 6 years later, thousands and thousands of dollars, a lot of paperwork, a lot
really?
Of interviews, very invasive procedures. Finally, here we are.
And I can only imagine the current political environment, atmosphere, like as, I don't know, I had some friends that before the whole election were worried that once he got elected that things would change, and they are.
Things have changed. Definitely changed, but
it hasn't gotten any easier.
It hasn't gotten any easier. It hasn't gotten necessarily more difficult. It's just the process is the time frame for the entire process has just gotten a lot longer.
Yeah.
That is something that is invisible to you, to your American eye. That's something that you can't see. What happened was a lot more people when he was elected immediately filed for citizenship immediately.
Yeah.
At the same time, well, not at the same time, but over a couple of months, the first months of the man's administration, two things happened. One, funding for Department of Homeland Security was cut. Not extravagantly, but it was cut. And at the same time, a lot of career bureaucrats, people that work at CSIS, a lot of USCIS, a lot of people left the federal government because they did not want to work under this administration. So imagine double the number of applications with a third of the, like half or a third of the workforce. So you're getting more applications with less people to process these applications.
Right.
And that's where logjam happens. What usually it's about a 9 to 12 month process. It's taken about 16 months now. They're up to about 12 to 16 months. So that's where we are now.
Now, as somebody that's been in DC for as long as you have, what is this going to mean for you?
Less scrutiny at airports.
Yeah.
less scrutiny of my passport at airports. It also means that I'm going to be able to vote.
Yeah.
Which I live in Washington, D.C. My vote doesn't really count for that much, but it's the principle of the thing.
That is very much a thing in D.C. where it's like, we don't have any representation.
Sure.
But like,
I said to somebody the other day, they said, well, we need your vote. And I said, you don't need my vote. You need my voice.
Yeah.
You need my empathy. You need my activism. You need me speaking out, even if it's just telling people to go vote, even if it's encouraging people to go vote, even if it's going and knocking on doors in Virginia where your vote does matter, even if you need my advocacy, which is something that I'm excited to do
as an American citizen. Like, and most recently, you know, we had I-77 and we have other things that are affecting this town greatly coming up in the coming year.
Absolutely.
So that's cool.
Yeah.
We're going to step out for a second, take a little break. When we come back, we'll be digging a little deeper. This is Shift Drink with Eddie Kim. I'm Matthew Ramsey, and we have Fred Uku. We'll be right back.
right. Welcome back, listeners. I am Eddie Kim. To my right is Matthew Ramsey. To my left, Fred Uku. Thanks for listening to Shift Drink on Full Service Radio. Let's talk about work romances, or work relationships. And there's a very prominent one that we like to talk about. You and Patrick Owens, Patso.
I love that man. Both of you work at... I'm not ready to fully admit to.
The Red Hen. Patso, every now and then, you're more of a staple at Red Hen. But it can be, you know, one word described as a bromance.
It's bromantic.
And you do have a little bit of a like a back and forth. So you are the chatty Cathy. According to Patso, you are the chatty Cathy, and Patrick is, hey dude, I'll just clean around you.
Cathy.
It works. Like every relationship, it works. It's good to know your roles in every relationship and play it to the bone. Don't try and be something that you're not. I'm the face. I do the schmoozing, and he bats cleanup, I suppose. Yeah. Oh.
It's a ballet. I mean,
it's a delicate dance.
Once bar teams are very important, as are kitchen teams, and you do develop some kind of, oh my God, I have pictures of Patso right on my phone.
Oh, hello.
A certain dance kind of naturalized comes into being.
Now I'm thinking about Patso's shoes.
Yeah. Patso definitely wears orthopedics.
Have you seen his feet? Have you seen the man's feet?
No.
They're huge.
Really?
Yeah, he's got huge floppy feet.
Oh my God.
And hairy like foot knuckles. I just made that up. That was the lie. That's the lie that I was supposed to
So this out. Is behind Red Hen, including your pasta, you get cocktails made with hairy feet.
With hairy feet.
Hairy feet. Sure.
I mean, yeah, like on any given shift, how does it work out? Like what's your dynamic?
So you mean just in general or with Patso and I?
With Patso and I.
Oh, with Patso and I. We show up to work, he immediately takes a picture or a video, something silly to post on social media, because you know he's a social media whore. And then,
well, you can't say whore on
that. What? Okay.
Gigolo.
It's very rare that you meet people in this industry that you have an instant work rapport with. It's very rare that you meet someone that you, and Patso and I have worked together at several different bars.
Mm-hmm. Which other ones?
Worked together at Bourbon, and we worked together at Ripple for long time.
Right.
It's rare that you meet someone and have a relationship with someone that it just works. You just click immediately. Working with him, the shift, let's put it this way. The shift goes by really quickly.
Yeah.
Because it's almost like you're not at work. I'm going to stop gushing about this.
And you also are seeing, have a relationship with a very prominent cocktailian as well.
I do.
So you're surrounded by cocktail people.
All day, every day. I live with three bartenders.
Does she get jealous of your relationship with?
She understands that Patso and I have a thing.
Have you two worked together at all?
My girlfriend and I?
Yeah.
Never.
Never. Okay.
Never. That's probably never.
Matthew, how do you feel
how
about
it? How does that work, Matthew? How does it feel working
for someone else?
How does that work out?
Honestly, it's amazing.
Did you meet?
That was like, we met at Pineapple and Burls.
Okay.
And we were spending 13 plus hours a day sometimes together. And then we'd go home and like...
Proximity plucks at the heartstrings.
Yeah, continue to live together. And honestly, it was one of those factors. It was like, oh, like, I can spend this amount of time with somebody in a very stressful atmosphere.
And not get sick of them?
And not get sick of them. And then also want to go home and like...
make sweet, passionate love.
Make the love. And tell them about my day and vice versa. And like just...
drunkenly eat McDonald's.
Wait, which do you do first? Talk about your day or make
usually sweet, usually it's a combined effort.
Okay, all right.
You know, usually it's, I'm making love while telling her
while
about
telling
my day.
Her about your day.
It's pretty sensual.
This is so awkward.
you should hear the pillow talk.
She's also about what?
She's sitting 30, 20 feet away from us.
Yeah, she's not listening.
She's not listening. I hope.
But yeah, no. I don't know. For me, that was like one of those things. Is like, wow, like. Historically, I've been a very much a loner person. I need my space, I need my time, and to find somebody that I can be around that long and like to be in that stressful a situation with, and still like want to hang out with them more.
It's a rare thing.
Yeah,
it's a rare thing.
That said, we ran into Patso in Mexico.
What?
In Tulum.
What?
The night of our engagement.
What?
Yeah.
Wait, Patso went on vacation?
I don't know. He might have been there just for the night. Who knows? He might have just been there for the night. But yeah. We're walking down the streets of Tulum.
That is true. Patrick is one of the hardest working men in the right now. He is on his hands and knees.
Right now, you know for a fact that somewhere in the city, Patso is on his hands and knees, or up a ladder, or up a crane.
Patso had no idea he's going to be such a part of the show.
Featuring prominently in this.
Patso, two truths, one lie.
No, we'll try to get him on the show, actually.
Yeah.
And then,
can I be on the show when he's on the show?
You can be, absolutely. Just,
sit, right.
Sit on the couch,
I'll sit in the corner
and gallery it.
Slowly start.
So you have a lot of wine experience.
I do.
We were talking earlier how you were part of the first wine bar in DC.
First one. Didn't know what we were doing. We had
Veritas.
Rest in peace.
Over in DuPont.
Now
best job I ever
now
had.
Now McClellan's Retreat.
We had 77 wines by the glass and 400.
77.
77 wines by the glass.
How was your wine knowledge back then?
I knew nothing. I knew. I thought that California Cabernet was as good as it got. And at the time, I collected big, culty California cabs. I had about $25,000 worth of wine in my studio apartment in Adams Morgan.
Yeah.
Because I thought that was as good as it got. Veritas very quickly taught me that it's not as good as it got.
Where do your passions lie now?
I'm in Spain right now. My girlfriend's mother's side of the family is has Spanish roots. They live in Spain, so we're planning a trip to Spain.
Right on.
To go drink a bunch of wine.
Where in Spain?
Priorat. Oh, where's our family? Or where am I?
Oh, where are you guys going?
Start in Madrid. Our family lives in, I think, Andalusia. Oof. I believe.
Yeah.
So I have no idea. She's planning it. I'm just gonna go drink. You know. Do all that stuff. Eat my weight in Iberico.
Which is a lot harder than you would think.
Which is
hey, do not, this is learned from experience, do not get suckered into the Iberico at the airport.
No. Airport meat is never a thing.
They will take it from you as soon as you land.
Don't do that.
It's a fucking tragedy.
don't.
They have all these what do you call them? The stores where
duty freeze,
where you can buy a whole leg,
quote unquote, Iberico ham,
and you land in the U.S. and they just oh sweet, thanks for the leg,
thanks
bro.
For
and
the
take
meat,
your
bro.
Fucking $8,000 of. I didn't invest in a full leg, but I definitely brought a lot back and it got taken from me and it was horrible.
Just the airport, just the meat that you bought at the airport.
Yeah.
That's odd.
Yeah.
Nothing else.
And cheese, too. Don't get sucked into the food, man.
Oh, all right.
Do it all while you're there.
Good to know.
Just swallow it before you go to customs.
We're going to wrap up
before you get on the
pretty
plane.
Quickly. Should we do a couple rapid fire questions?
Yeah, let's rapid fire this.
All right, rapid fire.
Time for the payback. All right.
Rapid fire.
All right, you're about to get naturalized. This is...
Oh, yeah.
Probably it was part of one on your questionnaire.
You'd be surprised what was on the questionnaire.
Favorite Brad Pitt movie?
Favorite Brad Pitt 7.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's in the box?
What's in the box?
What's in the box?
Her pretty head. As a pre...
Any movie where Gwyneth Paltrow dies. What?
Wow. Gwyneth Paltrow is
Who
also a very big listener of ours, Eddie. You can't be doing that to our
I apologize.
We'll loyal listeners.
We'll do a Goop Shift Drink mashup one of these days.
Yeah.
We'll put crystals up our various orifices.
I'll call it Goop Drink. Shift Goop.
Yeah, 7. Favorite Brad Pitt movie.
Favorite neighborhood. Not city,
Mount
but
Pleasant.
Neighborhood in America.
In America.
Or the world.
Favorite.
Wow, you just really.
I know. Sorry.
Wow,
Mount Pleasant. That's amazing.
Mount Pleasant in DC. It's my favorite neighborhood in the city. If I had to do in the country, it's probably somewhere in New Orleans.
Okay. The Marigny.
Yeah. Or the Bywater.
What is your snobbiest pleasure?
Ooh. Well, other than the fact that I. Other than the wine thing?
Other than the whole California Big Red thing.
Ah, that was a previous incarnation. Snobbiest pleasure? Nice wine, I guess. Yeah,
that's
gonna go with nice wine.
You're so snobby.
Yeah, I know.
Name a movie or television show you refuse to watch out of spite.
Ooh. There's a few of them. How much time do you have?
Go for it.
Empire. Any dance show. any dance show.
Even with the kids?
Even
God,
with the
you
kids.
Heartless
fuck,
asshole.
Fuck the kids. Show I refuse to watch. Game of Thrones.
Whoa.
Yeah. Game of Thrones. Yeah. Whoa. Yeah. Whoa. Yeah, I'm here for this. I'm here for this smoke.
All right, that ends our show today.
Yeah, sign off. Yeah, sorry. Game of Thrones. That's the one for me.
Fuck you, man. Yeah. What weird food combinations do you really enjoy?
Food combinations?
Yeah. Weird food.
It's not weird in of itself, but I can't eat Daikaya ramen without immediately following it up with the soft serve ice cream.
Oh, okay.
Like, I will not do it. I will not go to Daikaya.
It's a good combination.
Yeah. So now it's...
But you have to you have to walk around the corner, though.
No.
Oh, you go to Bantam King.
Oh, no. I forgot that they recently stopped doing soft serve. Usually before...
Sorry, Daikaya. Yeah. You just lost a customer.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. No, I cannot eat Daikaya ramen without immediately getting the soft serve ice cream afterwards. It's just not a thing. So now, yes, I have to walk around the corner of the Mountain King because Daikai no longer does soft serve, and it's tragic.
Well, that concludes our show today.
Oh, my goodness. Someone anime.
No, Eddie, do you want to ask your usual question?
My usual? Okay, yeah, sure. What is your deathbed meal?
Ooh. 3 pieces of fried chicken from Willie Mae's Scotch House in New Orleans.
Oh, you love New Orleans.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. If I'm croaking it,
what's Mae's. I've heard about them before. What's their deal? What's the deal?
What's the deal with Willie Mae's? I consider myself something of a fried chicken connoisseur in this country. I actually drove cross country last year and stopped at various fried chicken places across this country.
How many pieces do you think you had altogether?
Altogether, probably about 30 myself. Driving cross country. About 30 pieces.
That's a lot of chickens.
And Willie Mae's has... I don't know why I'm shilling so hard for Willie Mae's. It's quite simply the best fried chicken I've ever had.
We're talking like Crags and all that crisp?
Just everything. Yeah. Everything. Just... flavor, moisture, it's just, if I'm dying, if I'm on my deathbed, get me some goddamn Willie Mae's.
If I learned anything from this Thrillist article, you might have just killed Willie Mae's.
Oh, well.
We're that popular.
Oh, damn it.
Well, thanks for joining us this week, Fred.
It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Listeners, you can revisit this week's episode or previous episodes on iTunes or wherever you grab your podcast, like Spotify. And find us on all the social medias at ShiftDrinkDC. Don't forget to throw us a review on iTunes or give us a 1-star on Yelp, which, big news, might be in its deathbed.
Oh, yeah. Yelp is going down the tank.
Yeah.
They're losing money in their valuation, and thank God.
You will be missed, Yelp. Psych.
Fuck them.
And you will not be missed.
A special thank you to Jeffrey Lamoureux. You are missed. For our intro music, he is actually going to prepare some new intro music for us very soon.
Get ready.
More jazz and hi-hat. And DJ Rectech for our hilarious sound effects. Next week, we are welcome back Bill Murray.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, what is he doing, Matthew?
He's going to talk about his favorite microgreen, pea shoots, pea scores, and basketball. I don't know. That was off the cuff. Next week, guys.
That was actually very solid. All right, thanks, guys.
Thanks for listening to this program on Full Service Radio, broadcasting and recording from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. Full Service Radio programming can be accessed live and archived on fullserviceradio.org. Our talk programming is available on most podcast apps like iTunes and Stitcher, and our DJ sets are available on mixcloud.com/fullserviceradio. Full Service Radio features over 30 weekly shows and over 50 local hosts covering every topic imaginable. If you want to be a guest or get involved, email us at info@fullserviceradio.org. Follow us on Twitter at FullServiceRDO, on Instagram and Facebook at Full Service Radio. Thanks for listening.